of me, your name. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we have, this resurrection morning, that we could come together, O God. Realize, Father, how much, Lord, your word means to us. Unless you keep us, Father, we are not in the position to keep ourselves. For within us, O God, there is a fight, O God, a fight of the world and the fight of the eternal world. Lord, we realize that we are in a battle, and the greatest battle that ever takes place is in our mind, O Father. We ask, O God, that we would heal ourselves, our hearts, our minds. Lord, our bodies, O God, our ears would heal ourselves to your word today. As we would remember those that are have needs and requests, Father, those that are unwell in the bodies, we remember them. We also remember our brethren that are traveling from Bazana. We ask for your safe hands upon them, that you bring them to the tabernacle. Thank you for the believers that have supported the work with their presence, their tithes and offerings. And even as we would continue today, Father, we pray that you bless each one of us, remembering the fivefold ministry, the sister churches. Lord, we are grateful for everyone that has assisted, Lord, to ensure that the meetings, Lord, will bring honor to Thee. As, Lord, you would continue to bless your people, remember your servant behind this pulpit. Lord, even as we would continue, we pray for those that are celebrating their birthdays and anniversaries. Lord, and those that have challenges in their lives, we pray, Father, that you would be so gracious to bless them and strengthen them. Lord, may your word become a lamp at our feet, nurturing us and guiding us. We appreciate those that work in the background to carry out this truth, Father. Those, O God, that are working hard to so that they can get Bima Bar points, O Father. We pray, O God, that we too will be faithful to our calling. To bless us, we pray, even as we continue. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats this morning. Once again, I greet you in the name of our God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And amen, I believe there's no better place that we can be than to be where the saints of God are. Amen. We are just waiting for the brethren to come along, and whilst they're coming, we will just try and go back to some of the things that we have been doing. Amen. We do have challenges, like yesterday, I think the water pipes was damaged and so forth. So just remember that at any given time, you should be looking at the notices just before service, just in case we have power outages or whatever it is. And I trust the Lord will bless you. We purpose to speak to the brethren that are visiting us today, because they want to know more about this truth. So some of them, they finished off in Mierbank. I don't know what happened there, but hopefully they would get back to us whilst we are continuing. Amen. All right, so we are doing the subject before the beginning. And is this my notes are up there, brother? So we do understand that there are many things that we are learning about this great God. And let me see what's going on with my stuff. Where's my pointers? I don't know where's my pointers now, so somebody can help me. It's not here. Alright, so let's whilst this brother try and locate my pointer. For my computer. Not too sure if I took it to my office. Am I connected? Let's see. We normally have problems like this every time we have meetings, you know. So, fortunate that you're quite patient in many things. I remember sometimes we've got the mission field and we have everything connected, but the computer doesn't work. This is what I hear now. You can check the brother. Oh, I don't know what happened here. I was behaving. Let's see if I can automatic. Okay, here we go. I think but they haven't got my pointers. But we'll continue without that for now. So we know, brothers and sisters, that we've discovered that there are more than one dimensions. And you find as we study this, which will take us some time, you realize that how real this Bible and this message is to you, because we are seeing that the prophet of God says eternity is like a perfect circle. It has no corners. It has no ends. Amen. And having no corners and no ends, it says it would be like a perfect circle, endless. And that's what he's trying to tell you. And he says, that's the way God was in eternity at the beginning. Alright? So it was just one continuous. And if we understand what takes place or what took place before the beginning, we will begin to understand why so many people cannot understand Godhead, because they cannot understand who He was at the very beginning. And so we see that the prophet of God tells us, he says it's like a perfect circle that's forever at all at once. He says sin dropped in. Now, it doesn't mean to say that sin dropped in heaven. It simply means that whilst he was in eternity, he could not express himself in the qualities that he has, in the attributes that he has, because in the form that he is in, he is in an unexpressed form. So he wants to be a savior, but he can't be a savior if there's nobody lost. He wants to be a healer. He can't be a healer if there's nobody sick. And now, so therefore the prophet of God speaks of, he says that this perfect eternity had to break. And that's where we get the Alpha and the Omega. That is the start of time and the end of time. And during the Alpha and the Omega, that is where he wants to express who he really is. Now, a few things to know. He tells you that the circle gets broken. So we are seeing that this here is the Alpha period and this is the Omega period. So this in between here is where he wants to express himself. He could not and he cannot do that in the form that he is in the eighth dimension. Amen? And so we see, he says that this Jehovah God, remember at that point in time, he was not Jehovah God. He was just a being. And we know that that this being can only be in a place at any given time. Okay, for those of you that will stay for the next session, you'll find that I'm going to speak about this. And because the concept or the idea that people have is that God can be everywhere. Alright? And the prophet says that he wanted to reveal himself to his people, but he could not do this in his greatness. Because off the energy that he has. Now every one of us and everything on this earth is vibrating and is moving. You say, but what do you mean? You'll notice that you might think that if you are leaving a fruit on your table, that there's no energy there because it's disconnected from the tree. It's not true. You might think that if you leave a piece of wood on the floor and there's no energy there or there's no movement, or science calls it no vibration, so nothing will happen. It's not true. Everything vibrates. Excuse me. Everything vibrates. Alright? That means energy cannot be created. Energy cannot be created. Now, this is very important for you to remember, because if for some reason you don't understand that, you need to step, excuse me, you need to step back a little bit. Okay? What do you mean by energy cannot be created and energy cannot be destroyed? Because it comes under the law of conservation. But he being God, him being the masterpiece, is the only one that can go against that. Right? He's the only one that can go against that. But man cannot create nor destroy energy. So that is why you'd find that even when a fruit, you leave it on the table, because of the energy that's in it, eventually begins to sort of decomposing. But is that the end of that fruit? No, it goes back. If you put it back, if it goes back to the ground, it comes back in another form. The only thing that happens to energy, it changes its form. Like I spoke to you like about the dinosaurs and so forth. Alright? The dinosaurs and everything, you'd find that over the thousands odd years that existed, you might say, but there's no more dinosaurs. But you see, dinosaurs are here in another form. Okay, as fossil fuel. All the coals and everything that you're getting up here is from where? Somewhere along the line, like the diamonds that you get. People use diamonds on the rings. It's actually compressed coal or compressed gases. All that is energy. All right, let's go. Because what we're doing is just revising so that when we do pick up, you are not lost, okay? So, he says the cycle of 100 billion trillions and trillions of years of light space out on in the infinite into eternity, and a great creature that was all there and is still. And so he's bringing a picture that this is where this great being existed. Who was with him? No one. He was just alone with his thoughts. He was just alone with his thoughts. And so we find that science speaks of infinity. So infinity is a concept used in mathematics, physics, and philosophy to describe something that has no bound or limits or end point. It represents an unbounded, endless, and immeasurable state or value. The concept of infinity has fascinated thinkers for centuries and played a significant role in various fields of study. So, we are seeing that this being is an infinite being. He's got no beginning and he's got no end. Alright? And we know that he is living in eternity. And so, we have called that area where he lived in absolute eternity. Absolute eternity. Now, when Brother Branham says that God condescended himself from that form, it's not done instantaneously. It takes millions and billions of years, trillions of years. And most of the time, you can't wait for somebody for 1 hour. But can you imagine this great being for trillions of years was coming down, bringing his form? Now, there are many things you must know about this being. Because once you get to know this being, you get to know your God. And when you get to know your God, then you're going to find that it, your relationship with Him becomes much more meaningful. When we get into the subject about your thought and vibration, and how where we are at this point in time is the power that lies even in your words. You're going to learn that it's so important, because you're going to see how this being brought everything into existence. Amen. So, in mathematics, infinity is denoted by a symbol like a sideways 8. Okay, a sideways 8. It's not a real number in the conventional sense, but rather a theoretical concept used to describe quantities that go on forever without reaching a final value. Infinity can be both positive and negative. So, you find in science, they know it continues and continues and continues and continues. So, they use the word infinity, and they use that symbol upside down 8. Alright. So, when it comes to God, when we're using this regard, this great being, we are saying that He is a supreme being, or the ultimate reality, who possesses attributes of infinity, which means qualities. Like, in Sunday school you spoke about the love of God is so high, it's so low. You're trying to bring out a description that you cannot quantify His love. Alright? Meaning that God is without bounds, without limits, without constraints, okay? And because of that, there are certain traits and attributes that are associated with this infinite being or infinite God as we know Him today. And one of them is omnipotence. Means you can't put a limit on His power. So He wants to show His power. And how He's going to show His power is by creating. And when you begin to think, but how did he exist? You can't work it out. How did He bring out something when there was nothing there? So He wants to show His greatness. You find a lot of times people want to show their authority, either by disciplining somebody or doing something. You'd find that there are lots of people today that want to show their capabilities. About at one stage, they wanted to know which building is the highest in the world. Okay? And if you go on, every single day it is changing. Okay? Changing. At one stage it was a building, I forget the name, in America. Okay? And everybody said, wow, that's the tallest building. To you and I, 320 was the tallest building. But that's not so tall. Okay? And then you go to Dubai, the Burj Khalifa. When you're coming from the plane, you can literally see the tip of the building and the plane is going. Okay, now you'd find that China wants to build the highest building in the world. It's because somebody wants to show their creativity. And so God wants to show that this being wants to show that He's all powerful and He's got no limits, and that's why man cannot create life. Sometimes you go to a show and say, wow, this tree is so beautiful. But you look very closely, it's lifeless. It can't grow. Alright? It's lifeless. And so there are some things you must learn, is that when you begin to study who God is and who Jesus is, only God is omnipotent. The Son of God is not omnipotent. Alright? You will say, but what do you mean? Because he says, I can't do anything. Okay, but when we start going into the Son, which we have not brought the Son down, I just mentioned him in one of the services. I haven't brought him down. And you're going to see that the Son of God is just an agency. It's just an agency. Alright? And so there is no limit to his power, and there is no limit to his knowledge. It's called omniscience. He does not learn. He is knowledge. He does not love. He is love. He does not learn about peace. He is peace. Alright? And so there is no boundaries to his love, to his mercy. Alright? And one of the other important things is that I spoke about, he is self-sustaining. He doesn't need you and I to survive. He doesn't need food to survive. He doesn't need air. He doesn't need oxygen. He doesn't need water. Now, think about anything in this world that is self-sustaining. There is nothing. Even the Son of God, the Bible says, you got a headache. You know that? You're sitting in the pool. He sent his disciples away, and the prophet of God says he had a headache. And so, he also got hungry. But this being is self-sustaining. That means he didn't require anything to sustain himself. Alright, so we went through this diagram. Amen. Excuse me. And we have learned that He is Elohim. He is in absolute eternity. Please note, this is not the seventh dimension. Alright? And so we know that in his mind, he has got thoughts. Now you might say, what kind of thoughts? The mind of this being is broken up into different sections. Okay? And he has thoughts about his son. He has thoughts about creation. He's got thoughts about you. He has thoughts about the devil. There are many thoughts there. All right. He had plans, and we see that this being that we are seeing here is in absolute eternity. And we came across this sign, a leaf. Okay, a leaf. Now, that is the Hebrew word that they use for the beginning, okay, or the infinite. So we see that we are saying that this is a leaf, infinity or infinite. That means this being has got no limits, but he is in a zone, okay, a leaf zero or a leaf naught. So absolute eternity is in a, we can't even call it time. You can't call it time because time has a beginning. He is in absolute eternity, and with him are DNA strands. Now you say, what is the DNA strand? That is where the code of life is. The code of life, everything that comes from him has to be in the original form. That is why you'd find that anything hybrid will not be on the other side. Anything that is hybrid will not be on the other side. Alright. Now you might ask me, but what is he? What is his being? All we know that he is energy. Now you are going to say, but what makes you think, what makes you say that he's energy? You're going to learn that every one of you are a being that has got energy in you. The plants have got energy. The fruits have got energy. Did you know that water has got energy? So, if they all have energy, it has to come from some source. So that source has to be this being here. And so, when we go more into Einstein as well, you're going to learn that Brother Branham says that Einstein broke into a place called eternity, and he did not really understand a lot of things, but that's why Brother Branham begins to start speaking about Einstein. So this being now also had qualities in him that he needed to express. So these qualities is actually when it is completed becomes a statue of a perfect man. So he wanted to express love. He wanted to express peace. He wanted to express brotherly kindness, but he could not do that, and he cannot do that in that form. He has to change his form. And for him to change his form, he doesn't have to consult anybody what form he's in. Alright. So, a few things about this being. He is God, is infinite imperfection. That means he's got no limit. That is why the Bible says there's none perfect, there is none perfect except your Father which is in heaven. He doesn't have to consult because he is the absolute being. He doesn't have to speak to anybody to decide how he's going to come down. He's the absolute being. Okay? And he is the absolute infinity. There's nobody before him. There's nobody outside him. And he is the highest form of life. Okay? Now, remember this, that although we speak of infinity, we also said to you that not in all infinities are equal. Not all infinities are equal. Okay? Because you have what we call absolute infinity and you have infinity. So you may say, but what is the difference between infinity and absolute infinity? You say, but what is the difference? Which is greater, infinity or absolute infinity? It's absolute infinity. Absolute infinity is speaking of the being. Now, to some of you that maybe are not familiar with the language and so forth, as you study it, as we go over it, over the period of time, these things will break to you. Alright? So, infinity is something which is considered never ending, but may end if some variable or condition changes. So, infinity seems like for a million, billions of years. And you might say, wow, it looks like it never ends. But at some stage, it can end. But not God. Not this being. There can be no start and there is no end. So he is absolute infinity. You say, but why? Because he is unknowable. He is unknowable. You see, but everything that you want to know about this being, he is going to reveal it either through his son, through a prophet, or through the fivefold. Alright? So the absolute lies beyond any angelic and human knowledge and ability to understand and describe it fully. So not even the angels and not even human knowledge will be in a position to understand him. That is why you're going to find in the new city, we're going to learn more about this God. You think you know about this God? You're going to learn more about this God. Are we good? So, absolute infinity or absolute eternity is where the self-existing one dwelt. That's where he lived. We call it absolute infinity or absolute eternity. That's where he lived. Now, you're going to ask me, will he go back there? As far as I know, he won't go back there. In this world, he won't go back there. He would not go back to being alone. Because he wanted to always have a family with him. Alright? So, I spoke to you about absolute infinity and we spoke about Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and Aleph Nil is the first smallest infinity. Now, those of you that are math, science, physics, and so forth, you can go and read more about this. All right. I'm told the brethren are on the way here. absolute infinity was distinguished by three relations. One is supreme perfection, is completely independent, self-existing, self-sustaining, okay, is unbounding, indefinite, undefined, and formless. So in that absolute eternity, he was in a form, but not in a form that you and I know. You say, describe, I don't know. I can only tell you, is energy. What form he is, I don't know. Alright? How long did he get his thoughts together, I don't know. But his whole idea was, he wants to express himself. He wants to express himself. Now, sometimes we think that, you know, there are creation that can live forever and ever because they have they are eternal. Alright? But I think by now you understand that there are different applications to the word eternal. Many a times we think, you know what, if somebody is eternal, they have no start and no end. No, no, no. But just be careful. Because only this being has got no start and no end. And that's where the problem lies even with understanding Godhead. Okay? I remember talking to somebody and they were saying, you know, but don't you know that we were eternal? I said, we were not eternal. He says, no, we were eternal. He says, that's what the message says. Because if you read the messages, Brother Brown speaks about that. Alright? But we were not eternal in a sense that we were in the eighth dimension. He only existed. If you read, who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown says, he says, he was alone with his thoughts. So, he was eternal by substance. Which means he's got no start, no end. Are you with me? But then you become eternal. Why? Because of the thought that he had about you. And then you're going to have people that will get eternal life that will be outside the city purely because the way they treated the elected. Okay, the way they treated the elected. Or maybe they were foolish virgins. Right? Or maybe they did community work. Now, here's the tricky part, and some people have a great difficulty with this. The only group of people that will go to hell. Does anybody know? Which group of people will go to hell? Which group of people are the only group of people that will go to hell? Anybody? I can only... Only the devil and his angels. Okay? Only the devil and his angels. Now you say, but how is it possible? It's because you're going to find that everybody else, okay, everybody else will be outside the city, and they're going to have an opportunity to connect with you. When I say you, only the elected. So it's going to be another church again. It's another church again. Now, some of you are going to will accuse me of, but you're taking so long. Your services are 2.5 hours. Don't be surprised on that side, you take 3 hours. And your congregation is going to say, but hey, that man takes so long. Because every one of you that are connected, that are part of the bride will connect with everyone that are connected to you. That means everyone that have come into your life, your family, your friends, and so forth, they will connect to you. And they will learn from you. That is why, you see, but why are we in church? You see, you are not here to get saved. You are not here to get saved. You are here to learn about your role that you're going to play on that side. That's what it's all about. And all that the teaching is doing is unclogging and unblocking your thinking so that you will come to your realization, oh my goodness, I didn't realize. You see, you can't say to God, I want to keep this word. There's no such thing as I'm going to keep this word. Because remember that He has to keep you, or else you can't, because you can't keep yourself. There's no such thing as, you know, I'll follow this truth, I'll study this word and everything else. Alright? No. So, when we speak here about eternity, everything that is created from our atom splitting cannot be absolute eternity. So you're going to learn that as this being in the eighth dimension, everything that came after the splitting of an atom is not eternal. It's not eternal. Because everything that that came after the atom splitting all has a beginning. They all have a beginning. Alright. Therefore, there must be degrees of eternal or infinity. Alright. So there's some things about God that we need to learn, the uniqueness of God. He is energy. He's got no shape and no form. He has a mind. But He's got an infinite mind. His mind is omniscient. That means He does not learn. He does not learn. Now, when you study your Bible, you will learn that the scripture says that Jesus grew in favor and in stature with God and with man. But this being, or God Himself, does not grow, does not learn. Okay? So His knowledge has got the, is omniscient. His mind is omniscient. Which means, before there could be a problem, there has to be a solution. And a lot of times, we find, brothers and sisters, we don't realize that if we want an answer to our prayer, it has to come from the Word of God. Because if it does not come from the Word of God, you might say, but you don't understand, I've got this personal problem. No, there is no personal problem that God does not know. There's no trouble that God does not. You say, but why? Because then you are denying the fact that He has an omniscient mind. You are saying to me, you know what, let me look at Google or Yahoo or whatever it is and get a solution. This omniscient mind has got knowledge to everything in this world. And whilst He is in the eighth dimensions, He is already substance. Substance. Meaning that He is not going to come into something. He is already substance in the eighth dimension. The Son of God was just in the thinking of the Father. Now everything has got to be in a seed form. Like this plant has to be in a seed form. But this being has got no gene. This being has got no gene. Now you say, but why doesn't He have a gene? Now let me ask you, why do you need a gene? Why do you need a gene? You need a gene because you came from the wrong gene. You came from the wrong gene. And that gene produced a body that is in opposition with God. So you say, what are you talking about? We all came from through the permissive will of God. That means by the union of our mother and our father. But to be connected with God, He had a thought about you before you could be born. He already knew who is going to come and who's not going to come to his mind or to His word. He already knew that. Alright? Before you could even arrive. So, what does the gene do? The gene gives you the ability to understand. He does not need a gene to understand. Because there's nobody can teach him. And that's why you'd find that You can go to anybody in the world and give them this message. If there is no gene in them, they are not born again. They are not born again. You know, because only the gene gives you the ability to understand. Okay? And you can never understand the word if there's no gene in you. Which means that no matter how much somebody can talk to you, to them about this truth and about this message, if there's no gene there, it will not cause them to say, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. They will not be able to open the scriptures, will not become meaningful to them. The message will not become... You see, if somebody convinced you to come to Kenville, in a few years' time, somebody is going to convince you not to come. You say, well, why? Because of the gene. Okay? Because of the gene. That's why we say to you, don't put pressure on your family. Don't put pressure on your husband. Don't put pressure on your children. You know, sometimes you'll notice that some people are not here. You say, but is the church not doing anything about it? There's nothing you can do about it. All the Father has called will come. All the Father did not call will not come. You might say, but I don't understand. You know, they're such wonderful people. This is not about wonderful. This is not about nice. This is not about they're living clean. You can be clean living and still not understand. So, he doesn't need a gene. He doesn't need a gene. Now, he never came from a thought. You say, but what do you mean, thought? Like your mom and dad sat down together and said, well, I think we should have our children. That's a thought. He never came from thought. Nobody thought about having God. Does that make sense? Nobody thought about, hey, let's have God. He never came from thought. We came from thought. You say, but what do you mean? Your natural body came because your mom and dad thought of starting a family. All right? You are here under this ministry because you were in the thinking of God. Remember that when I speak about the mind of God, God did not only have you in His mind, He also had Lucifer in His mind. But the role that Lucifer is going to play is not the role that you're going to play. It's like a man that's going to work and he owns a company. Okay? And the manager says, well, you're going to handle this section and you can handle that section. Now the guy on this side can't say, no, I want to handle this. He says, no. This is what you, this is your job. This is your responsibility. So, because the manager or the boss or the owner had that in his thinking. Now, he can't say, look, I'm going to take that job, and he can't say, I'm going to take that job. Lucifer, do you think that Lucifer is an enemy of God? Or do you think that Lucifer is a tool of God? Lucifer is a tool of God. Before the seventh seal, you were thinking that Lucifer was an enemy of God. No. Was Pharaoh an enemy of God? No. Pharaoh was a tool of God. Was Hitler an enemy of God? Hitler was a tool of God. So, when somebody does you wrong, don't look at them as your enemy. Look at them as a tool that God is using to shape your character. When sicknesses come your way, thank God and say, God, I thank you. I am sick because you want to prove that you are the healer. There's a testimony that Pastor Tony was sharing with me, but I can't share it to you because of ethical reasons or pulpit ethics. I've got to wait until He shares it with you. When I say He shares it to you, He didn't say He's going to share it today in one of the services. I can't. I give respect to Him, so let Him talk first and look out for the testimony. I was long. Okay. When I heard that testimony. So, remember that He never came from thought. We came from thought. We had a beginning. So, this the uniqueness of this being is that He chooses the form that He wants to condescend and the nature He wants to present Himself. So, He's going to say, listen, I'm going to come down as a pillar in a pillar of light. I'm going to come down after the pillar of light. I'm going to come into a pillar of cloud. After the pillar of cloud, I'm going to come as an angel. After the angel, I'm going to come as a man. He decides the form. Nobody decides the form for Him. And when you look at Him and you study the seventh dimension, there is nothing of the seventh dimension that makes Him up. Even the very body that He has, okay, the very body that He has is not from the seventh dimension. It's not from time. That is why you'd find that when He said, let there be light, there were three things I told you that happened. One, He created Himself a body of light. Two, He brought His Son. Three, He brought the natural Son. But it was not simultaneously. It did not happen. It did not happen immediately. Are we good? It did not happen immediately. And so you'd find that even though Jesus, okay, though He is in a glorified, in a glorified body, He is not omniscient. God came from eighth, but Jesus came from the seventh. God came from the eighth, but Jesus came from the seventh. And so the wisdom and the understanding that this being has is based on His substance. That means He's never wise. He never learns. He doesn't have to think to be omniscient. Now, for you and I to make that up, to think about it, is very, very difficult to understand. You see, but I just can't understand it. How can this being not think about something? How is it possible that He does not learn? That's what I'm trying to show you. The uniqueness of this great God. Amen? It's good to see you, dear brother Eric and families, the believers from Bazana. I do understand. I think you got lost. It is true that Durban is a small place, but a big place. Sound like a paradox. Durban is a small place, but a big place. You take the wrong turn off, you finish off in Mirbank. Or you finish off in chats with her. Alright. Alright. So, we are doing the subject about the before the beginning. And so we see, first He was not even God. He was not even God. The prophet of God says, we just call Him the Eternal One. So this was before the seventh dimension. Before the seventh dimension, we find that He was an eternal one. And we know that in this being had what we call a fountain of intelligence. He says He had a fountain of intelligence. And in this fountain of intelligence, there was not an atom, molecule or nothing. Light nowhere, stars, moon, nothing else. And so, we are so clear in our mind that this being, was not created, He existed even before there was an atom or a molecule or light or stars or moon. Remember I said to you, we did not bring the Son of God down yet. Because He was alone. He was alone. He was the eternal one. The Bible does not say the eternal them. Or the eternal people. He was the eternal one. There was nothing. When you study who is this Melchizedek, you will see the prophet says he was alone. Okay, he was alone. But he had desires or he had a thirst. Remember that, you see, but how can God have a thirst? You see, there's nothing on this world that can ever happen unless it first happened to him. If you thirst, that means he had to thirst first. If you have an ambition, then he has to have an ambition. Because you can't have an ambition, and he didn't have an ambition. You see, but how is that possible? Because there can be nothing before him or nothing after him. God can't learn. God can't see you getting ambitious. Oh my goodness, let me become ambitious. You see, but what do you mean? God, how can God be ambitious? Yes, he had an ambition to be a father. He had a desire that he would have a creation. He had a thirst to be worshipped. You know, people say, I'm so thirsty. Thirsty is not only a reference to drinking water. You hear people say, I'm thirsty for success. Okay? I'm thirsty for success. And so, he wants to be a son. Now, let me ask you, and even our visiting brothers can answer this. Who was the first son? Who was the first son? Anybody? Who was the first son? Jesus? So if Jesus was the first son, then that means God does not know how to be a son. I told you, everything has to come from him first. If he is the first father, Jesus the son can't be the first son. How can he be the first son? Who is going to teach Jesus to be the son? God had to first play the role of a son. So that he can teach his son how to be a son. That's why today you have so much of problems in families. It's because your natural father, if he was not really a good son to his mother, how can he teach his son to be a good son? Huh? If a mother, if she was not a good daughter to her mother, how can she teach her daughter, you must be a good daughter, man. You can only teach that which you know. And if you don't know, how can you teach? So God has to teach his son. But how can God teach his son? Or how can the father teach his son if the father does not learn the role of a son? Now, very tricky. God does not become a son. But he was showing the son to role, how to role model as the son. Alright? So, when he begins to leave the eighth dimension, he begins to form himself. He begins to form himself. That means now he's going to take on a form. Before he was unexpressed, he was just a fountain of intelligence. He had the code of life there. He had his thoughts. And we said to you, the mind of God has got the concepts and the thoughts of God, which is the Logos. Logos means thoughts or concepts. Are you with me? Logos is means thoughts or concepts. Now, for our visiting brothers and sisters, you need to check our site and go back to some of the things that I'm teaching. All right? So you can go back and learn these things. Now, I want you to notice the word form himself. As he begins to form himself, the traits and qualities now is gathered up in what we know as nature. He's now gathering himself. He gathers his thoughts. And now he wants to lower himself into a being so that he can express himself. So he had to decide. He had to decide what his children will be like. How his children are going to be. The role they're going to play. What they're going to look like. What they're going to look like. He had to decide on that. He had to decide for him to become a savior, for him to become a God, for him to be a being, for him to be worshipped. What form can he take? He had to decide that. He can't consult anybody. Alright? So he has to condescend. The prophet of God speaks of he condescends, which means he lowers himself to a point where people can fellowship with him eventually. Amen? So remember that God does not create his nature. His nature exists by substance. God doesn't create, this being does not create his qualities. His qualities are already there. All he is doing is going to gather all that is there and come down into a lowered form. Okay, let me try and fast track so I can get to something that I want to do today. So in that mind, he has the Logos, which is the concept of God, the thought of God, or the thoughts and the concepts. And the thoughts and concepts are still unexpressed, still in his mind, because he wants to be a healer. It's unexpressed. I told you last week before, he wants to be Jehovah Jireh. But Jehovah Jireh only gets expressed in the days of Abraham. When Abraham saw a lamb in the thicket, he says he's called Jehovah Jireh. My provider. He wanted to fulfill all his cycles. But he had to plan out when he's going to express that, and what season is going to express that, and who is going to be present to witness that. So remember that the mind that this being has is not made up of this world. That's why, brothers and sisters, we will not be in the position to have access to all part of the mind of God. The mind of God is broken up in sections. There is a part of his mind that you will never know, but it will start off when the Bible speaks of the New Jerusalem. The new heaven and earth. We don't know what's going to take place in the new heaven and earth. Because that is locked in the mind of God. When will that open? It'll only open when we go on that side. Yet we begin to learn more and more. Now, what we are doing, we are learning where he was and how he lowered himself. Alright? So we read, the mind that he has, there is no mind that is like this mind, because his mind is not made up of any material from the fifth, from the sixth dimension or the seventh dimension. And in that mind, he has the Logos, which is the concept, the thoughts, these are all unexpressed. Alright, so all these things I think you know, so let me try and get to a point. So these are the attributes and traits that you want to express, a creator, deliverer, a savior, and so forth. Okay, and these are the titles of him that you wanted to express. And I told you at every different period of time, those titles get expressed. Those are titles of his deity. Now remember that I showed you that Brother Brian tells us that Jehovah was actually not his name. Jehovah was not his name. Jehovah was just a title. Jehovah was just a title. Alright, so I'm going to skip all this because I did this with you all a few weeks ago. Let me see if I can just... get to a point where I can start off something. Okay, so just give me a second, please. Okay. So we already know what happened to my slide. Are we on the over the back? Seem to have lost connection with my... Should come on now. Okay, so I spoke to you that he's self-sustaining. Alright, so just to recap, and then I want to go on to something that I want to do for the brethren today. Okay, so we know that he's omniscient, he's omnipotent. So we know that now we bring in this God from absolute eternity, because he's absolute infinite. That means he's got no limits to him. And that area is called timeless eternity. There's a new word I'm teaching you today. It's called timeless eternity. There is no time. There is no time. You and I are controlled by time. In that, if today you decide to say, well, it's 10 o'clock. All right, it's 10 o'clock. But 10 o'clock can't stand for you still. Because it's controlled by the sun. And no matter how much you pray, just now it will be 11 o'clock. Or just now it will be 12 o'clock. And the sun will set. But in that zone, you find there is no time. Okay? So this being, brothers and sisters, what does he do? Now he wants to step from eternity, from the timeless eternity, he wants to come down. And he wants to come down with all his thoughts. So all his thoughts is the logos. Now remember the word logos means thoughts or concepts. Okay? Logos means thoughts or concepts. So the concepts and the thoughts of God are in the mind. Now remember, the mind of God is not like your mind. I told you this, he doesn't learn. Okay, he doesn't learn. So he's got what we call an infinite mind. And in this infinite mind, you find that he never learns. So he's omniscient. Every one of us learns. He does not learn. It's omniscient. So that is why there is no problem. There is no problem that you have that he has no solution. Okay? He does not need food to sustain himself. He's self-sustaining. Alright? He's self-sustaining. You say, but then what is he? He is energy. He is an energy form. You say, but is it biblical? Yes. Is it in the message? Yes. You'll hear Him say, let your Holy Spirit come and energize us. You'll hear that every time. May your Spirit energize us. Because you see, that energy, brothers and sisters, that we are saying, you see, but what is it? It's just is an energy form. And that energy form now wants to condescend or lower Himself in a condition that you can touch Him. But that's going to take millions and billions and trillions of years. And so this energy, we know, is omnipotent. And what does He do? Now, He wants to speak. And if He does speak, what happens? Now remember this. If you have a thought, think about anything right now. Don't think about what time is He finishing. Okay. The thought is information. Thought is information. Now for me, to bring my thought out, I must say a word. So, when I speak, okay, when I speak, what happens? You'd find a wave comes out. You say, what wave? So, you can't hear me unless it follows a certain steps. What you're hearing now is a result of a sound that is coming through my vocal cords. The sound that you are hearing through my vocal cords, man calls it words. But those words carry what we know is information. The information is traveling through the air. I'm bringing it down simply. And it's creating what you call a vibration. Now, how many times you hear people say, are you listening? Are you listening? They say, yeah, I'm listening. What you're trying to say is that, are you tuned into that frequency? That sound wave? Because sometimes you can look at me and you think you're Timbuktu. But so have you noticed sometimes something is right in front of you and you don't notice it? Or have you noticed sometimes when somebody speaks to you, says, hey, you know what? I was thinking of something else. I never heard him. Have you heard people say that? Okay. So, when this energy form now, what happens now, when he begins to start speaking, he says, I want to get myself into a body of light. He wants to speak. And he's going to create what you call a wave. Okay? So, this wave can also come as a particle. You're going to learn about this. When somebody speaks, it carries information. That information is transferred or carried through as a wave. And if it's slowed down, it becomes a particle. Now, if you can't understand it, just hold on until we go on, okay? What is also important about this energy that we're learning about, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. What will happen, it can only be transformed. Like you see, you are energy. When you die, when I die, our bodies go to the ground. Now you see, but what happens to our bodies? It just gets transformed. The energy is still there, you see, but prove it. How many of you remember the prophet of God when he was buried and somebody fell into the grave and they stood up? But the prophet of God was not in the grave. What was still there? The energy. The energy was still there, you know. So, energy cannot be created or destroyed. Only the creator can defy the law of conservation. You see, but what do you mean? You see, your body is the only one that can change you into an immortal being. You can't do that yourself. He's the only one. You hear him say, the prophet of God says, he's going to annihilate the earth. He's going to clean up the elements. That means take it right back. Oh, he's the only one who could do that. You can't do that. You and I can't do it. He's the one that can burn up everything and you can't even find, you can't find him in existence again. It will not even be in another form. Only he can do that because he is the creator. He's the only one that can defy the law of conservation. He says you cannot totally annihilate anything. Human beings can't annihilate. That's it. You can't destroy energy. You can't break anything. Only God can do that. Alright? It says it only breaks the chemicals apart. It says the heat of the fire goes back to gases. It says if the world stood long enough and that same gases, the chemicals was in the paper, would come right back and be a piece of paper again. Now this is science. This is science. You say, but I don't understand. If I take this paper and I burn it, it goes into, you say ash, it goes into gases. They take it and they put it, it goes into the ground. Out of the ground, what happens? You get trees again. It comes back to paper. Okay? If you science, you'll know about it. Alright. So, I want to It says, no matter if you're burnt up, if you're drowned, wherever you are, they cannot annihilate. That means, no matter where you are, it says you can't annihilate anything. It says there's nothing can take it away except God. It's all back into His hands. I'm trying to show you that He can't be destroyed. He's the only one that can go against the law of conservation. You can't. You can't go against the law of conservation. You can't change anything. You know, those of you that know computers, you have a file, or you went to a certain site and you saw something, and then you erase it. They call it cookies. Okay? You remove the cookies, you clean your thing, and you say, look, I've cleared my computer. They will never find it. Who said so they can't find it? You go into the hard drive and you look, it's not there. Give it to Brother Norman, give it to Brother Waco, give it to Tashin. They call it a scrub. They go in there and they can still unearth it. Where they took it from? God. It's an imitation. It will always exist in another form. Okay? It will always exist in another form. So his thoughts will produce matter. So with this energy form, no creation can be the being in the being's presence. In the form that he is, nobody can be in the being's presence. You say, but why? Because that is why he said to Moses, don't come near. He says, you're standing on the holy ground. Because in that form that he is in the eighth dimension, nobody can be there. So that is why he had to leave that dimension so that he can condescend himself and lower the energy. It's like this, as I said to you. I can touch this light. This is electricity. But this is electricity in its condensed form. Okay? So 220, whatever it is not even 220. It's maybe 9. You can touch it. But let's say if it was 220 here, I'll get shocked. Multiply that a million times and you'll have an idea about this being. Nobody can stand in his presence. He says, listen, okay, they can't stand in my presence. I'm going to come into a form. Okay? So you call it transformers. That's what you'll call it. You'll call it transformers. Or you'll call it step-down power. Where did they get it from? It's an imitation of this being. He just steps down into another form. Eventually, so you can come and touch the body that he's going to make. Because you see, but what do you mean? Go and read the book of Exodus when he's talking to Moses. He says, Moses, tell the men and women, not to come anywhere near. Mark the mountain area. He says, even if an animal touches it, Moses, they will die. How is it possible that later on, the Bible says that we touched God? Because He came into a form. Now, the other thing that you need to learn about this being, He comes into time, but He is not subject to time. He comes into time, but He is not subject to time. You see, but why? Because that's He is. And so what He's going to do? He's going to gather up His thoughts. He's going to gather up His thoughts, and now He's going to come, okay, He's going to come into another form. So His mind has got thoughts. His mind has got thoughts. What kind of thoughts? Eternal thoughts. But the thoughts that He has is substance. Now we'll break this down as we're going. He had thoughts about you. He had thoughts about the devil. He had the thoughts about the Catholic Church. He had thoughts about the serpent class. Those are thoughts. He had thoughts about the 144,000. He had what we call perpetual thoughts. Perpetual thoughts are the angels. The angels are beings that have got no soul. They've got no Zoe. He had thoughts about that. He had thoughts about people that are outside the city. Okay? So all of this makes up the family of God. All that was in Him. All of that was in His mind. And now you want to put that into operation. As I said to you, when you see a building, even that building across the road, if you see that road that you are traveling on, that wasn't somebody's thought. That wasn't somebody's thought. Either the civil engineer said, you know what? Why don't we make Nanda Drive one straight road instead of taking a bend? It was in the thought of somebody. He took the thought, he put it on paper, and now you're seeing what we call the expression. That's what God did. All His thoughts was in His mind. And every single time, now He wants to unfold it. And then you find, in this being, He had the code of life. This code of life has got all the DNA. All the DNA about a dove, about an eagle, about a lamb. About the plants. Everything. How the lamb will be. And he's going to take the code of life that is in Him and put a quality in the dove. Eventually, that when you look at the dove, it says, oh my, it reminds me of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because you cannot know God unless you look at His Word, or look at His Son, look at His people, or look at Him in His Word. You'll never know God. God only reveals Himself by His Son, by His people, by His creation, or via His Word. Outside that, you will never know God. Okay? So all of this, brothers and sisters, is the logos or the concepts that's in the mind of God. All of that that's there. Alright. So you may say, but what are some of the thoughts? He had a plan for Himself. He had a plan for Himself. He planned out everything, how it's going to be. He laid out all the material. How he's going to, and that is why the prophet says, he gathers Himself. He gathers His thoughts. And he now begins to lower Himself. Okay? He also had a plan for His Son, which I want to show you today. He had a plan for creating a firstborn unique son. Not like us, but uniquely born. Right? Uniquely born. Lots of times you'd find that when people study who God is, they don't know, they think that God in Old Testament and then they hear about Jesus in the womb of Mary? No, 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 no. The Son of God was there before Mary. Was there before Mary. The Son of God said to everybody, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. And so you're going to learn that when He makes the Son of God, the Son of God does not come from the eighth dimension or absolute eternity. The Son of God comes from the seventh dimension. You might say, why? Because the Son of God, in who is this Melchizedek, paragraph 70. Okay, paragraph 70, you will read that the prophet of God says, he says that he had to put his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when was the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It was written before the world began. Before the foundation of the world, the Son of God's name had to be written there. And that is why you'd find, brothers and sisters, that Jesus could say, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. You can read that even in the book of Proverbs. All right, but as I said to you, in our series, we did not bring the Son down. But I'm trying to show you the thoughts He had. He had thoughts about His Son. How His Son is going to be. Then He had a plan for His angels. Then He had a plan for mankind. He had a plan for different creation. And He had a plan for botany. All this was part of the plan of God. Alright? And now He wants to put Himself put His thoughts into action. I just want to skip some things so that I'm just skipping some equations so that so we know that his desire was to express himself, and remember that I said to you He is the substance image. All His qualities that He has, now He's going to bring it down. He doesn't have to learn about peace. He doesn't have to learn about love. He doesn't have to get to know about brotherly kindness. It's all in this fountain of life. It's all in there, all the streams of life. Alright? And so, this being what we call is got substance attributes. Which means it exists with Him. It doesn't start to come into Him. It was always there. And He has no start. He's got no end. And all He needs to do now, He wants to bring this into existence. Now remember that you love people because by a chemical. You say, I don't understand. Let somebody make you angry. And see how your feelings change. It's chemical. You say, how? What do you mean chemical? Because the moment you hear a bad thing, the chemicals in your brain changes. That now you get angry. Your blood sugar maybe drops. Your blood pressure increases. Your heart rate goes faster. You begin to start sweating and you get so upset. That's chemical love. But God's love is not chemical. Which means it's not based on situations. It's not based on circumstances. God's love is not based on anything that you do for Him. You see, a lot of times we love people for what they do to us or for us. We dislike people for what they do to us or against us. But not God. Not God. Alright? So, you have hormones in you. Your hormones change. Your hormones change. Like you'd find that it's called endorphins. Have you noticed some people, when they are on the phones, they send out all these notes, they get so excited, it gives them this hype. It's called endorphins. So, you may not be on drugs, but your cell phone can be a drug. It gives you a sense of satisfaction that you got 1,000 followers. I got 1,000 followers. Oh, I had 20 million views, if you ever get 20 million views. It gives you that hype, it gives you that high. Okay, but God's love is not that. God's love is not based on hormones. That's why you'd find that we say to young men and women, even married people as well, getting involved physically before marriage is dangerous, because what it does, it sends a high signal to you. You get into a level of emotions that you've never had. And when you tap into that, that body of yours is going to call for more of it. Because you broke into a realm that you shouldn't be breaking into. You find that is why you find relationships that are not in keeping with the marriage covenant seems exciting. The thrill is there. The rush is there because of endorphins. It gets exciting and so forth. Alright? Now, he doesn't need hormones for that. God doesn't need hormones for anything. He is love. He's got kindness. He's got patience. He's got meekness. Nothing alters him. You know, I can be very patient today. And in a few seconds time, I can be very impatient. But not God. He waited 6,000 years before he can destroy this world. And if somebody hurts you, what do you say? Oh God, why don't you just destroy them? Why don't you do this to them? You see, because we are chemically driven beings. He's not chemically driven. Because he doesn't need chemicals. He doesn't need hormones. He's self-sustaining. That's why, brothers and sisters, we always should be praying, Father, you keep us. Because we can't keep ourselves. Father, keep us, please. Because we can't keep ourselves. And a few things before I close this first part of the service. Is this, sometimes people will change. Their feelings change. Their faithfulness changes. The commitment changes. You might say, but how can they do that? No, it's not within their power. God, that is not all. God's love is not altered. Okay? By anything in life. That is what you've got to learn. People, situations, things. Necessary evil that comes upon your life, worry, stresses, are all part of God's program to condition and program you to see and enjoy the benefits of His Word. You must see that as a tool of God. You know, when success comes to you and you get a lot of money, or you get a promotion with your job, and you think that's a success? No. You should step back and say, God, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? You see, before God can bless you with something, the first thing you should be asking for is character. Character. You see, I don't understand you, Brother Louis. A little bit of extra money changes character. A promotion changes character. A new car changes character. A new house changes character. New clothing changes character. But God does not change. So when things take place in your life, step back and say, God, what are you teaching me? Why is this illness come this way? What are you trying to teach? Why did you give me this money, Lord? Why did you give me this business? Why did you give me this promotion? Okay? Even when things go wrong, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? When people fail you, don't be angry with them. Step back and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because there is a lesson in everything in life. There's a lesson in everything in life. You might say, but you know, oh, because of brother so-and-so, I missed the bus. No. You missed the bus for a reason, or you missed your appointment for a reason. Even with your children may be doing bad in school. You know, most of the time, when we talk to our children, or we talk to our husband, or we talk to our wife, we talk from a negative sense. Did you know that? We do not say, we go to the child, why didn't you do your homework? Why didn't you do your homework? Why didn't you eat? What is there if you told your child, honey, I've made you some lovely food, and you see the carrots? This is what it does. The beans, this is what it does. You know, you need energy for your body, and you should be eating. So everything that you've got to learn in a couple of weeks' time is that you've got to learn to reprogram how you speak. Because there is nothing negative under the seventh seal. There's nothing negative. You must say, oh, but Brother Louis, you don't understand. You know, I'm on doctor's medication for so many years. You know, how can it be positive? It is positive. It is positive. Because sometimes you'd find that God may allow a certain sickness, like Paul. The Bible says that he was getting blind, and the Lord said to Paul, if I heal you of that blindness, he says, you'll become elevated in your attitude. But I have to keep you in that condition, Paul, so that you can be continuously praying. You can look up to me. Or maybe you got a husband or a wife that is nagging you. Did you know Zipporah and Moses, the reason why when Moses forgot his responsibilities, God had to remind Zipporah to speak to Moses? And sometimes you could have a partner in your marriage. You say, but Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through with my partner. Do you know your partner is there to bring the best out of you? You say, but how? Every time your partner is trying to bring the worst out of you, you must remember that, Lord, I heard on Sunday that I need to portray your character. I need to portray your qualities. And so, when my husband is nasty to me, Lord, help me to still maintain those qualities. Why? Because you see, brothers and sisters, when things go bad, that's when our real colors come out. Did you know that? Not when things are good. When things go bad. And so when things go bad and you get upset, it's for you to think, oh my word, I didn't know I have a temper. Oh my word, I didn't know I'm so impatient. But what made you realize that you're impatient? The situation. What made you realize that you have a temper? When your wife steered you the wrong way. What made you realize that, you know what, that you are so negative is when your son didn't do his homework. Now you begin to realize how much you need to work on yourself. I would to God, God will bless you, undertake for you in a special way. Amen. As we bow in prayer, and thereafter I'll just call Brother Eric to just come and greet the church, because some of you will not remain behind. Okay, greet the church. Amen. Father, we pray for your blessings upon the congregation. Lord, for the little lessons we've had. We appreciate also our dear Brother Eric from coming all the way from Bazana, traveling so much, so many hours, oh Lord, just to be on the road. We appreciate the believers. Bless our brother, even as, Lord, you would just talk to the church now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Eric, let's give Brother Eric a hand from Bazana. Brother Eric, come and greet the church and tell us something.
I'm very happy to be here. This is a place where I made a decision when I had the revelation preached here. I made a decision that I'm not going back to Bizarre, not baptized. I was a Yeah.
Amen.
So this is my home. The first spoken word I read, I think it happened the way people were walking up and down. It was dirty, dusty. I had to dust it.
Sure.
And read it. Something attracted me to take that booklet, the small book. I read it and I liked what I had there because it was the first time for me hearing what was written there.
Mm.
And I did not know anybody whom I can refer to about what I had on that spoken word. I checked the spoken word and see the address down there. Jefferson Hill address. I took a pen and wrote a letter to Jefferson Hill. And they responded.
Wow.
Referred me to somebody, an evangelist at Wentworth. And another one, Pastor Koho. But before I met him, I met Brother Henry. Brother Henry, when we were chatting, he told me some of the things I had on that spoken word. So I accepted. It was very waiting at the CCC. But Brother Henry asked me to step aside and talk about the revelation, not the wedding. We took time. I accepted what he told me. When I was invited to a convention here, our pastor, Pastor Cody was preaching here. I was sitting listening. This is very good. I am not going back to Pizana. I am going to be re-baptized. Because when I read the spoken word, I heard the prophet says, if you were baptized without knowing anything about the Godhead, then when you have heard now the Godhead and accepted it, your baptism should be you should be re-baptized. I said I am going to be re-baptized. Because the people who are preaching the message, I thought so, but they do not understand what they are preaching. Because they do not have the religion. So I want to read something I understand. I want to follow something that has got all the answers of the questions that may arise from me. The answers must be there. Paul once said we must be ready to answer when you are asked. So you cannot be ready if you don't know. You must have knowledge, you must believe, and then God will give you what is expected of you. One of the pastors paid for us to a convention at Kaute, Ranpoje. When I listen to people preaching there, I was bored because I didn't understand what they are preaching. They preach like the denominations. They preach something just. It's a cycle. I don't see the direction. Where are we going? So, since I had the message, I started preaching. After I was baptized here, I started preaching in Bizana. Some of the believers, whom I thought they were the message believers, they ran away from me. Yeah, because the prophet says, once said, Christians like to be babysitted. So, if you are not saying, the person you love, you tell him the truth. If it is wrong, it's wrong. If it is right, it's right. If he or she likes it or don't like it, it doesn't matter. Because if you know that this is the truth, it is the truth. So, people who are not for the truth, they run away to their churches. They are running circles. Well, it's alright. I'm happy with the revelation. I still want to know more about God. I listen to my pastor almost every day. To my apostle Tony, almost every day. Must have listened to two messages every day. So that is to me is growth. Thank you very much. Pastor Louis, I'm very happy. And more happy that Pastor Louis knows where I'm staying now in his mind. He knows that I can go there. Thank you. He showed me that he is my pastor. I told him what happened at my home, but I didn't expect him coming. I thought he would send somebody. But Pastor Louis went there and bury my son. Thank you very much, church and the pastor. God bless you.
Thank you. Just remember, Brother Eric, and congregation day. It's quite challenging, especially when you're out 3 hours away. You are in Bizana. The only thing that I can see that is quite familiar is Wild Coast. Wild Coast. And I remember Wild Coast was Brother Roy. Right? We used to go Wild Coast in those days, you know. When I passed the place, oh my goodness, this is near Wild Coast, okay? So, appreciate Brother Eric and family coming over. I trust the Lord will bless them. We're going to have a break, brothers and sisters. They've left at 5 in the morning, eh? Left 5 in the morning. What time? 5, yeah. So, we just want to let them have some meals. And those of you that want to stay, you can stay. And those of you that want to go home, you can go. Lord bless you, Brother Terrence. You can come along.